God is looking for leaders, those who will step up and be bold about what they believe. Join John Copeland and special guest Jesse Duplantis for a message that every leader needs to hear, next on The Believer's Voice of Victory.
Hello and welcome to The Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. I'm John Copeland. I'm the son of Kenneth and Gloria, and I'm honored to be here. Last week and this week, they've asked me to step in and help them out here, and so what an honor it is, though, to be with such a special guest that we have, Brother Jesse Duplantis.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate you.
Glad to have you here.
It's very kind.
You and Kathy, y'all have Covenant Church down in South Louisiana, just outside of New Orleans. And you've done worldwide ministry.
Yes, sir.
Television worldwide. Traveling all the time. Been everywhere.
Yeah,
done
home.
Everything. Like that Jeremiah Johnson movie. Been everywhere. Done everything.
That's right. That's true. You know, people said, you've been everywhere. Well, the only place I haven't been is home. I like to go home every once in a while. It's kind of nice.
Yeah, I notice Mom and Dad, when they get a chance to be home, it's one of their favorite places to be.
Oh, that's who you are, is your house. You know, it's your home. I sleep better in my house, and I've been in some fine hotels, ladies and gentlemen, but there's none like my house.
Well, you may not feel home right now, but you're at home. Like you're at home.
Well, I feel at home. In fact, I slept last night at your mother's home, and I called it my room. And she said, it is your room. And it was very kind. Thank you, Gloria.
Yeah, she's probably listening right now. Well, Jesse, we've had some really good visits about the vision, about why you need God's vision for your life, about how to fulfill that vision for your life, about some of the things that the devil comes to try to steal that vision, tries to get you to be complacent, to get you, you know, through fear or worry to not do it. Tell you a million reasons why you can't fulfill that vision. I mean, the devil doesn't want you to fulfill it, because when you're fulfilling it, then you're doing God's will on this earth, and people's lives are going to be changed and affected one way or the other. And so the devil wants to try to keep you from doing that, and we want to try to help you do it. We want to see you fulfill that vision. We want to see it for your life, to see you get that fullness and that completeness. But whenever you do fulfill that vision, somehow or another, you're going to be affecting other people's lives.
Well, if the devil steals your vision, he steals your life. You know, we've been using the scripture, Psalms, Proverbs 29:18. He said, if the people don't have a vision, they perish. If he can steal what God told you to do, he'll steal your life. I mean, he will steal it physically, not just what you do in life, but he'll steal it, because he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And sad to say, he's very good at what he does. He's had a lot of practice in killing, stealing, and destroying. I think one of our jobs as Christians, as Word of Faith people, is to stop Satan's job of killing, stealing, and destroying. And one of the best things to do is change people's environment. And you change the environment by changing their thinking. If you can change their thinking, you can change the reality of what they see around them. Because what you think is what you become. The Bible says a man thinking in his heart, so is he. It isn't so he might be, so is he. So today, you have to, I tell people, shine up your vision. You should always keep it fresh. Always keep it before your face. And if you feel like you've completed that vision, there's another one in line. There are some people complete more than one vision in life. Some complete many, many visions in life because they have that capability to do so. I believe a lot of you that are watching today have that capability. We want to get in today by being a doer of that vision, or a doer of the word, not just a hearer. I find most, and I don't mean this to be critical, but to be truthful, most Christian people are hearers and not doers. I want to tell you something. It's very hard sometimes to get people to operate and function and volunteer in a church. Why? Because they prefer the hear instead of the do.
Doesn't the Bible give you a ratio on that? 80% of the people are hearers.
That's right.
You've got 20%, basically one out of four, that's going to take the word and do something with it.
Well, like tithing, for example, I heard someone say, evidently they checked it out, that of all the body of Christ, only 18% of the body of Christ tithes. So that's almost unheard of. That's pretty small percentage. 18% of the whole body of Christ tithes. Yet God says, and the reason, what is the reason for tithing? Well, most people say, well, God will bless you. I believe that, but there's something better than that, John. I tithe not because God will bless me and have me live in an open winded heaven. And that's wonderful. I really tithe because of not Malachi 3:10, but of Malachi 3:11. It's the next verse. Most people read over and don't realize it. He said, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. Not long ago, I got mad at the devil. I get mad at him pretty much all the time. And I just stood up. I said, devil, I bind you in the name. I rebuke you. And the Lord said, stop. That's not your job. And I said, excuse me, Lord. He said, it's not your job to rebuke the devil. You are a tither, Jesse Duplantis. I rebuke the devil and the devourer for your sake. So I thought, man, what a blessing. That doesn't mean I can't rebuke the devil. You know, God will let you do that. But I realized that God's position for me in my life, because of what I do with my finance and his finance, because the tithe is his, is that, and I'm the business administrator that he lets use it and operate it for him. It's truly amazing. He rebukes the devourer for my sake. So he said, be ye therefore doers, not hearers only, deceiving your own self. Now, it's pretty dumb when you deceive yourself. Some people, they live in denial, you know. They say, I can see it, but I don't believe it. And then when you show it to them, I see it, I still don't believe it. So seeing doesn't make you believe. I've always said this. I love miracles, but miracles do not create faith. Mm-hmm. If you really think about it, ladies and gentlemen, miracles create doubt. Now, you think about that. You see somebody like a Benny Hinn or Gloria in a healing school, boy, and people just getting healed. Now, let's take the perspective of the person that's at home looking at the television tube as you're showing this. They go, I wonder how many people they planted in that audience. I bet the people work with the people. I wonder how much money they gave that guy to get out of that wheelchair. You see, faith don't come by seeing. It comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And what happens is, if miracles could change the world, we sure have had a lot of them. They hadn't changed the world. Yet there was one man in the Bible that had no miracles in the ministry. And I believe in miracles, and I want them. But he got the whole city out to hear him preach. That was John the Baptist. Think about it. He had no miracles in his ministry, but he understood his vision. He knew what he was supposed to do. And then when it came to the close of his vision, he knew what he was going to do there. He said, I must decrease and he must increase. Yet this man had no miracles in his ministry whatsoever. Yet the city came out to hear him. And what was it? What was his vision? A voice crying in the wilderness, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Now, to me, that is about as good as it gets in terms of illustration or an example. And what did Jesus said? And there's nobody could preach like that. That boy could preach hell so hot, you could smell smoke around him. You understand? That guy was a preaching machine. And he was brilliant in his delivery, brilliant in what he said. But what made him so brilliant, and Jesus said was the greatest of the prophets, greatest of the preachers, was because he understood his vision. He knew what to do, when to do it, where to do it, and how to do it. And he didn't try to please no one else but God himself. Yet he had some doubts. I want to use him for example. I mean, you got a naked woman upstairs dancing in front of a very lustful king. I mean, chances are you're not going to make it out of that jail alive, you see, because she's wanting his head. But he did say something, because sometimes we do have weaknesses in lives. Mm-hmm. But let's face it, we all do. And John the Baptist sent a message to Jesus and said this, are you the one, or should we wait for another? Now you think about it. He's in jail, and they got a naked woman up there dancing for his head, and the king's lustful. Chances are he ain't going to make it out of jail. I mean, I don't fault John for that, because, Lord, he's by himself. What did Jesus say? I love what Jesus said. He said, since you want to see something, go tell John that the dead are raised, the healed, the sick are healed, the deaf ears open, the eyes and all that. In other words, I'm going to show you something. And if you want to see something. And then he said something that really, he reprimanded John, but in a very nice way. He says, blessed is he who's not offended in me. I'm going to stay on that for a minute. He said that to John. I'm going to paraphrase that. What's the matter, John? I ain't working fast enough for you? Oh, it ain't working quick enough? Excuse me. Blessed or empowered to prosper is he who is not offended in me. John had got offended in there. Excuse me, man. I'm about ready to die here. You understand what I'm saying? Once John heard that, you can tell in the scripture that he completely repented of that in himself. You never heard him say anything else, because now he was coming to the end of his vision. But I love what Jesus said. What did you go to see? A reed shaking in the wind? And then he picked up right there, Jesus did, the same ministry as John, because every man's work is a continuation. And Jesus went forth preaching the kingdom. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. So I would tell everybody that's watching today in this session, there will be an end to your vision, and there may be another vision that will come. But if the end of your vision is the end of your life, then you should shout, because you have completed your destiny and reached your destination. I was praying not too long ago. I said, God, What's the rest for me? Without sounding prideful, I preach in the biggest churches in the country, in the world. I mean that pridefully. I preach in big conventions, your father's conventions. I cross denominational barriers without any trouble whatsoever. I've preached in Catholic churches, Jewish synagogues, Episcopal churches, Presbyterian, Church of God, Church of Christ, Word of Faith, Full Gospel, Assemblies of God, Church of God and Prophecy. I mean, I can preach like a black man. The Lord said, if you walk with me today, Lord, I can hoop it, John. I know how to do all that. I mean, and I've had the honor of doing that. I've preached to thousands. I've preached to millions, billions by television. Not bragging on that. Lord, I said, what's left? And you don't think I was so stupid. I was praying this. This is probably a year or so ago. He said, you've just began. I did what? What did you say? You have just began. Then I realized, man, I ain't even got out of Genesis chapter 1, verse 4. In the beginning, God. So there's so much more to do and so little time. I really am glad. I used to think I wanted to live in Moses' day to see those wonderful, powerful miracles by God Almighty with the mountain smoking, you know what I mean, and the Red Sea open. But I'm so glad that God saved me for these times as we are today. I call it the last, the end times. I am literally seeing the Bible come to pass in front of my eyes. I mean, right in front of our eyes. And you don't even have to believe it by faith. You can just flat see it. So I realize that my vision will soon be complete, and so will God's vision. And he's coming to get us. And I think my vision and God's vision are going to come together at the same time. You know, and so a man asked me, he said, are you afraid to die? I said, no, because I've never experienced death. I mean, how can I be afraid of something I've never experienced? I don't know what that means. I said, I'll cross that bridge when I get there. But there is a generation, John. Now, some people don't believe this, but it's still true because the Bible says it is, that won't see death. Now, so what am I doing right now? My main job is to be a doer of the word of the Lord. I wrote something down that a lot of people don't understand. To be a doer, it also takes sacrifice. You know, I mean, I like going home. You know, I've been all over the world. I'll never forget one time me and your mother and your father, we were in South Africa. We were, I think it was South Africa. Yes, and doing an international believers convention, and we were going to fly home. And something went wrong on the plane. We were at the airport, and a part, something went wrong. So they had to get a part out of somewhere. And I know Brother Copeland wanted to go home, Sister Copeland, Jesse wanted to go. We wanted to go home. But you know what? God had something else in mind. So we just sit there. Well, we're just going to go back to our hotel room. And we had a wonderful man. I can't call his name now. He feeds a lot of children. I mean, just thousands children every day. I'll get his name here in just a minute. And he flew us, I believe he had a 421, to another hotel. Now watch this.
To Peter Pretorius?
Peter Pretorius, that's him, yes. He flew, it was so kind. So we went to this place, some town, some city there in Africa, and we went to this hotel. When Brother Copeland
and my city.
Yeah, that's a place. When we walked through that door, there was a girl that screamed. You thought somebody heard her. Man, I did this. It scared me. She said, I told you he would come. I told you he would come. So in my mind, I thought, she's recognized Kenneth Copeland, you know. So me, I back up, you know, I'm going to get out of the way. And she said, look here, the man with the white hair. And I turned around to me. She said, I read your book about heaven. I've been telling everybody, and they didn't believe me. And I told them that you would come to this hotel to prove what I said. Tears coming down. I mean, that's the biggest tears I ever saw anybody come out their eyes. And it just shook me to no end, and it shook that staff. Now, God didn't break the plane down so we would go. But because that part didn't work right, God fulfilled someone's destiny, someone's dream. And we got a night at a beautiful hotel, and it was just such a blessing. We got to fellowship a little more, fixed the plane, and came on home. But to that girl, that was everything she was believing for. You may be watching this today. I will never forget you. I'll never. That's him. And then the manager of that hotel came up to me and says, that really happened, didn't it? I said, yes, sir, it did. That literally, I'm talking about my book, Close Encounters of the God Kind.
That's a great book.
Oh, man. And to make a long story short, I honestly believe that that time that God set everything in order that we could fulfill that lady's dream. I didn't know her. I would have never seen her in my life. I'd have never went to that place in South Africa in my life. Hadn't been back since. But I realized something, that God thought it was so important to bless that young lady. She was only probably, I don't know, 22, 23 years old. But she had faith in God.
You know, there's a great lesson in that. I've learned that over the years from Dad, you know. When something happens like that, you get a flat tire on your car or miss a plane.
Right.
I lost my passport one time, and I was in Costa Rica. And I was starting to get upset with myself because, you know, I'm a world traveler. And there I lost my passport on the day that we're going home. And so we wound up missing the flight because I had to go get another passport at the embassy.
Right.
That flight took off. Big Airlines here in Dallas took off to come home to Dallas, hit a condor.
My Lord.
Ingested it into the engine, 12-foot wingspan, huge bird. Had to make an emergency landing, come back and land.
And that's something.
Missed that whole thing.
Yeah.
Because of, you know, losing my passport.
Right.
When I got home, I found it in my pants pocket. The pants I'd worn the day before, you know. But you never know when God has something like that for you, that your plans change, and you think that you could be upset about that because it throws you off schedule or whatever.
Right.
But you got to rest in the fact that God's got a plan for you.
Well, when those people saw me in that hotel in South Africa, and of course my picture's on the book and all that kind of stuff, I mean, it proved that girl's story. And I'm pretty sure she had got a lot of ridicule. Oh, you can't. That's not true, you know, probably from our co-workers and laborers and things of that nature. But to God, that was very important. And I even see that at the resurrection. I mean, think about that, John. Jesus is about ready to ascend into heaven. If anybody's been a doer of the word, Jesus has. Now, his most important mission is about ready to take place. He just rose from the dead. He just come out the grave, right? All right, he's left that grave closed. He's about ready to ascend to pour his blood on the holies of holies and declare that man is the righteousness of God. It don't get no better than that, ladies and gentlemen. It don't, all right? And guess what? Mary shuts it down. Mary comes walking into that cemetery. Jesus see her, and he stops redemption. He stops righteousness to help Mary. Stop. Mary needs some help. And she sees him, thinks he's a gardener. Where have you taken my Lord? Where are you? And, you know, and he said, Mary. And buddy, when he said Mary, she lost it. She reached out for him, and he said, don't touch me, for I have not yet ascended. If she'd have touched him, in my opinion, it would have ruined everything, see, because he had to go into the holies of holies at that high priest and declare us righteous. But the thing that really struck me, if you don't think God loves you and your vision, God shut down redemption, righteousness, everything to take care of one girl who was crying. And her name was Mary. And brother, when he told her, he said, Mary, go tell everybody I'm alive. The first evangelist was birth. I thank God for women preachers. Boy, I've always believed in women preachers because I saw that. And she took off down that road, brother, screaming, he's alive. First evangelist of the new order.
I never thought about that.
Think that. Of the new order. And then Jesus said, oh, I got to get out of here. He goes to heaven. He pours his blood out upon the holies of holies. He declares man redemption, his righteousness. But all that stopped to help one young lady in her sorrow. One young person. Somebody who needed help. Let me tell you something. God will shut the world down for you. God will shut everything down to get to you. And think about it. If you're a parent, you'll do everything you can to get to your child. You'll take pain, suffering, cold, heat, run over, whatever, to help that child. Well, how much more our Heavenly Father will do for us, and he'll do it immediately because the vision he's given you will come to pass. But you have to be a doer. I didn't see all the other 12 guys coming down there to see what Jesus was doing. But Mary was concerned, not only about him, concerned about his burial arrangements, concerned about everything, just wanted and was sorrowful. And Jesus took time out. I mean, the most important time to redeem her, to help her. He sent her on and could tell everybody I'm alive. And then he went to the holies of holies. And the New Testament started right then and there as far as we were concerned. I mean, here we come. We were put into the nature of God. If that's not being a doer of the word, I don't know what is. And I believe the Lord wants us to talk about that today, John, because there's so many people think God doesn't care about them. You know, well, you know, I prayed and this and that. Do you understand what a difference a day makes? I preached that for Easter. The day before, he was a failure. The next day is the King of Kings. What a difference a day makes. I mean, there's a song like that. What a difference a day makes.
There's nothing that you've done in your past.
That's right.
That God can't erase. There's nothing that you know, sin you've committed that can't be forgiven.
That's right.
And I don't care what's happened in the past. You have to look forward.
Yes, sir.
You have to move forward. The past is the past, and it needs to stay that way. And, you know, we're going to give you an opportunity here in a little bit when we come back.
Amen.
We want to offer them a chance for salvation.
Oh, yes, indeed.
We've got some books we would like to give you for that. But, you know, anybody can be a hearer.
That's right.
Anybody can hear the word. There's thousands, millions of people out there hearing it.
That's right.
But there's not that many doers. And it's the ones that do, that step up and they do mm-hmm. it. They're the ones that change things in the world. They're the ones that are making the difference in the earth.
Well, we always talk about the doers in life. What I love about Babe Ruth, I mean, you know, I like baseball. I mean, let's face it, no steroids, most of the time drunk.
Messed up. He didn't have steroids, but he had a lot of other
stuff. But he could hit a ball. But do you know he also holds the record, strikeout mm-hmm. record, too? Because when he swung at a ball, he gave it everything he had. It may not have been pretty, but it did go over the fence. It went out the park. That's my point. You see, he was a doer.
And he's not known for the strikeouts. He's known for the home runs because he swung for the fence every time.
Every time. Not something. I mean, he just would. Even in his older, even when he was sick, when his body said it couldn't happen, he still did it. And let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. If you have that kind of tenacity, if you can have a Babe Ruth faith in a sense, just the swing with everything you got, guess what? You're going to be known for completing your vision, reaching your destiny, and getting to the destination with pride and good pride. And God will say, well done, thou good and faithful servant.
Yeah, we got to be doers. You know, we can't just sit on the sidelines and, you know, be second or third string, which is
That's right.
A lot of what you're doing if you're just listening, but you're not doing. You're going to church, you're hearing the word, you know, maybe you're watching the broadcast, you're hearing the word, but you're not doing anything to back that up. You're just on the sidelines as second or third string. And we want to get in the game, right?
You better know. I don't want to just drive the bus to the game. No. I want to get in the game.
I want to be out there, you know, making touchdowns, Amen. Hitting home runs, swinging for the fences. So we're going to come back here in just a minute and, you know, stick with us because what we want to do is we want to pray with you here in just a little bit for your salvation. So stay with us.
Does it seem like your life is passing you by? Have you lost your passion for life? Are you unsure of your destiny and purpose? We all have a special calling on our lives. We're all here for a reason. We all have a purpose. In the newest release from Jesse Duplantis, The Everyday Visionary, you can find purpose for your life, realize your potential, and start living now. With practical principles, Jesse explains how to get your vision from God, how to move that vision to reality, and why it is so important to make every day count towards something good. God desires for you to live an active and fulfilled life. We're not here to just exist, but to do well, live happy, and to make a difference for God. You can find your purpose and make it a reality today. Be courageous, step out, focus your thoughts, and change your life. Order your copy of Jesse Duplantis' new book, The Everyday Visionary, today for only $16. For faster delivery, order on our website at kcm.org. To order by phone, call toll-free 800-575-4455. Or you may also write to Kenneth Copeland, Fort Worth, Texas, 76192. Learn how to become an everyday visionary and fulfill God's plan for your life. Order your copy today.
As we've been saying all this week and last week, Jesse, is God's got a plan for your life. He has a plan for you. He has a way to fulfill that empty void in your life right here that's been missing. You know, you may say that, you know, I've never accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, or maybe I did a long time ago.
Right.
And just as a kid, but I've turned away from it. I've let things go. You know what? It's never too late. I don't care if you're 9 years old or 99 years old. It's not too late for you to fulfill what God's calling you to do. He has a plan for you for right where you're at right now.
Hallelujah.
You may have missed some things along the way. You may have gone the wrong direction in some places.
Sure.
But he still has a plan for you. I don't care how many times you go around that mountain. He's there. Every time you go around that mountain, he's there for you.
Amen.
And so, you know, we'd like to take this time right now to pray with you for your salvation, whether or not you're first time getting born again or just coming back and rededicating your life. But you want to be somebody who's a doer and not just a hearer. And, you know, your life can be fulfilled. You can have a satisfied life. You can have a life where you're making a difference in other people's lives. And that's what God wants for you. So, Jesse, I'd like for you, if you would, to lead us in that.
I'm going to do that. You know, Brother Copeland, Brother John Copeland here said the right word, acceptance. When you accept this prayer in your heart, not in your head, you're going to be welcome to the family. There are millions of people that are being fulfilled every day because of their acceptance of Jesus Christ. So pray with me right now, John. We're going to pray together, and I want you to pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we ask you, Lord, to save people that are watching today. Lord, we ask you to forgive them of their sin. You said if we would believe with our heart and confess with our mouth that you rose from the dead, you said we would be saved. We accept that by faith. We say that. We may not totally understand all of it, especially those, Lord, that have never been born again. But, Lord, a newness is coming into their heart right now. We thank you, Lord, that their sin is being washed away, never to be remembered against them anymore. And, Lord, as a personal prayer, I'd like you not to let them even remember anymore what they've done in the past, but to always look now to the future, because the future is bright. Thank you for saving people, for helping people, for reaching out to people, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You prayed that prayer. You need to get these books, John. That's going to be a blessing
to
you.
It's as simple as saying, Jesus, come into my heart. That's all you got to do, and he'll do it. And I don't care what it feels like. He does it. He's faithful to do it. And if you prayed that prayer, then we've got these books that we'd like to send to you free of charge. We'll pay the postage on them and everything. You can call a number, ask for the salvation package, or you can just go to the website and you can get it there. So please get this stuff. It's going to help you. It's going to help you get started on the right track. Well, this is Brother Jesse Duplantis and John Copeland reminding you that Jesus is Lord.
If you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life today, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland welcome you to the family of God. They've put together a 5-book package to help you get started learning your Bible and understanding who you are in Christ Jesus. Request your free salvation package online when you log on to our website at kcm.org. Take hold of the promises of God and let the glory of the Lord shine in your life. Thank you for joining us today, and we'll see you on the next Believer's Voice of Victory. Let God's glory shine in your life at the 2009 Southwest Believers Convention. Join Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, Jerry Savelle, Jesse Duplantis, and Creflo Dollar August 3rd to the 8th at the Fort Worth Convention Center in Fort Worth, Texas. With Super Kid Academy for ages 6 through 12 and 1440 for ages 13 through 18, there's a place for the whole family. To find out more, call 800-600-7395 or visit kcm.org.